Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You are listening to Believe in the Blacklist on the Believe Podcast Network. Welcome back in to Believe in the Blacklist. I am your host, Stacey Blackwood, here on the Believe Podcast Network. Today we are breaking down episodes 9 and 10 of Season 1, Anzalo Garrick, number 16 on the Blacklist. These are still a couple of my favorite episodes of the entire series. Just fantastic episodes, and we're going to dive right into them. We start out with a flashback scene of Wrestler, being injured, and he's inside the box, and it looks like Red is trying to perform some type of procedure on him, and that just happens for a few seconds. And then we flash back to 13 hours prior to that, and Red's in Germany at a bar celebrating with some friends, having a drink over some type of trade that they've been working on or something like that. And Wrestler comes up, and Red's like, why are you here? And Wrestler tells Red that Liz has been detained and that he needs to get back. And obviously we learned that is a lie. The FBI has gotten some intel that a threat has been made against Red, and they want to place him into protective custody for the time being. And Red informs them that they have fell into the trap because Anzalo Garrick is infiltrating the black site, and he used the task force and that intel to get Red to the black site to make it easier to capture him. So while Red is given the rundown on how dangerous Anzalo is and who he is exactly, we see Anzalo and his thugs, breaking in and infiltrating the facility there, the black site. So they infiltrate the facility. Wrestler gets shot in the leg severely. Red kind of saves him there in that moment and gets him and Wrestler to the box to kind of keep them safe in that particular moment. And at this moment, Anzalo Garrick and his team has completely infiltrated the black site and have complete control over it. They've cut the main lines off at the main generator room. They've cut the conduit into with saw. So they have completely overtaken the black site, and now they're all at the mercy of Anzalo Garrick. Cooper and Mira and some of the other team members are trying to make sure they don't get the weapons room. But of course, they don't have enough men to kind of hold back Anzalo's army of guys that he has there taking over the facility. Well, Liz, at this time, she was late coming in that day, or later than everybody else, and she was stuck in the elevator at the moment that Anzalo and his team captured the facility. So she's stuck there in the elevator, and she gets out, and she's trying to make her way around and find some answers there. And she runs into Aram, and they formulate a plan to try to get the communications back, so they can kind of call in some backup and get some help on the way. So they're working together to try to find that. Red and Wrestler, they're in the box. I want to get to this because this is probably the most interesting part, one of the most interesting parts of these two episodes, is kind of Red and Wrestler's interactions there in the box. And, one moment, Red asked Wrestler what happened to his engagement with Audrey Tidwell, I believe is her last name. And Wrestler's pretty much like, yeah, we were engaged, but it was kind of my engagement with you and me trying to hunt you down kind of ended all that. So, and you can kind of tell Red feels a little bit bad for that in his emotions there. And, you know, Wrestler keeps asking him, you know, why are you trying to save me? You know that, you know, I don't care for you, and I'm sure you don't really care a whole lot for me. And Red gives the answer of, well, you know, that's what you do when somebody's dying in front of you. You save their life. And it's, you know, today you're my friend, but tomorrow you're enemy. You're my enemy. So a lot of interesting conversations there. And Wrestler asks Red, you know, I don't know how you done it, Reddington. I don't know how you betrayed your country and your flag. And Red says, well, we become who we are. This is a great quote. He says, you become who you are. You can't judge a book by its cover, but you most certainly can by its last. Really, really great quote there from Reddington. I know that's not the entire quote. And then we get to the one more time monologue, which still to this date is one of the best monologues of the entire series. And he talks about all these things that he still wants to do, of why they're going to survive, because he wants to smoke Cubans and feel the sun on his face for as long as he can. He wants to read one more good book. He wants the warmth of a woman in a cool set of sheets. And then he says, most of all, I want to sleep. I want to sleep like I slept when I was a boy. So just a fantastic monologue there delivered by James Spader. And just the moments there between Red and Wrestler in the box are very just incredible acting by James Spader and Diego Klattenhoff. Just a great scenes there with those two characters. And of course, Red gives Wrestler a blood transfusion. They happen to be the same blood type. So just an interesting dynamic there between the two characters who, you know, for the series so far, really, really hate each other. But moving on, like I said, Garrick's trying to infiltrate the facility, trying to get into the box to get Red and you know, get escape with Red. And he's trying to get the code from Cooper, and Cooper's not willing to give up the code. So Garrick brings Luli, Red's assistant, there up to the box and says, you know, I need the code or she's going to die. Well, he doesn't get the code, so she gets shot pretty gruesome. You know, I want to talk a minute about how gruesome this especially part one of this episode was, especially for a network TV show. A lot of blood there in this episode, but really, really fun episode. And so Luli gets shot there, and then they bring Dembe up, and he's going to kill Dembe, it looks like. And Red and Dembe kind of are, I'm not sure, some type of Muslim chant or prayer that they have between each other. Not sure what that is. If you know exactly what that is, let me know in the comments when I post it on Twitter. But really interesting part there. And as it looks like Dembe's about to get shot, the screen cuts to black and you hear a gunshot. And then we move into the next episode there, the conclusion of Anslow Garrick. And Dembe is being held at gunpoint, and we hear that gunshot again. But the gunshot turns out to be Aram shooting Garrick's man, who has Liz at that point. Well, then Garrick's people capture Liz and Aram, and then Garrick holds Liz at gunpoint, and Red pleads with Wrestler to get the code. And, you know, Red's like, either you give me the code or I'm going to kill you. If you can't save Liz, then you're no use to me. So Wrestler gives up the code, and Garrick takes Red and Liz, you know, to escape with him. And while they're in the ambulance, while they're trying to take the tracking device out of Red's neck, Red tells Liz to call a number and ask for Mr. Kaplan. Well, they push Liz out of the ambulance as she you know, tries to let them both escape from the ambulance, but doesn't succeed. But she gets pushed out, and so then she makes contact with Aram to try to, for them to work together to try to find out, you know, who's kind of behind this and how all this happened. So they're working together, and then we get, while they're working together, Aram finds that a call has been made to an address multiple times every time that Red shows up to the black site, and it's the address that is right across the street from Liz and Tom's home. So Liz goes and checks it out, and of course that's where the man with the apple and all the cameras are set up, and she's discovering all this, and the man with the apple attacks her, but Liz kills him, and she calls Mr. Kaplan, and Mr. Kaplan shows up, and we are first introduced to Mr. Kaplan. Turns out Mr. Kaplan is a Mrs., but she's still called Mr. Kaplan, and she says that she's going to take care of this. She's going to dig the the bullet out and get rid of the ballistics and all that kind of evidence so it's not traced back to Liz. And Liz is like, I can't let you do this. I'm an FBI agent. And she says, well, Mr. Kaplan says that, you know, my two objectives are to keep you safe and to find my employer. And she's referring to Red there. And so so Liz is now working with Mr. Kaplan to try to figure some more of this information out. Mr. Kaplan has Liz go to the car, and of course she finds the GPS there, and they're kind of looking back at some of the coordinates there, and they find what seems to be a industrial park, which is kind of a secluded location. So they decide to attack that, and it turns out not to be where they're holding Red, but some kind of communications post with, you know, really high level communication software and technology and stuff like that. So they get all that. In all this time, Cooper is kind of going back and forth with Diane Fowler on whether or not to shut the task force down or not. She's obviously scared because the task force has been, you know, compromised, and they're all under attack. And after they infiltrated the communication center that Garrick's people had, they find that Diane Fowler had been being watched. All of them had been being watched, and now she's a little more inclined to let them continue the hunt to try to find Reddington and try to find Anslow Garrick. Well, all this is happening. Then Liz and Mirror are there at the Black Side, and they're working together to try to find more information, try to find Reddington. They're not sure where he's at. And then they find this address, and it's a church. And it turns out that the ambulance that they used to take Red away in had been burned just a few blocks away from that church. So they decide that is where Red is being held. And at this time, we get introduced to a new character, Alan Alda. First of all, what a fantastic, guest star to be able to have on this show. Fantastic casting there. Alan Alda, of course, famous for being on MASH. So just an incredible casting choice there. And he is wanting to have a talk with Red, and that is the reason why Garrick wanted to take Red. So they have this conversation, of course, and he starts the conversation out saying, you know, Red, it's been like 20 years since I've seen you, and, we could have killed you every day for the past two decades, but we choose to let you live because the information you have on us would, be detrimental to their organization. So at this moment, we're not sure who that organization is, who Alan Alda is working for, or who he is. And a lot of questions are raised there in that, two or three minute conversation that Red and Alan Alda have. And Red tells, they're so concerned, Alan Alda's character is, because they learned that Red has, kind of surrendered and started working with the FBI. But Red tells him that him surrendering to the FBI and working with them has nothing to do with Alan's, network or whatever operation he is working on. Red says it has nothing to do with that. So very interesting there. Of course, Garrick wants another crack at him, and Red takes care of Garrick there, and as he slyly takes the scissors away from the doctor that was there torturing him for a while, and he kills Garrick there where he's being held. Like I said, Liz and Mira had worked together to find the location of Red, but of course, by the time they get there, Red is already gone, and he is gone in the wind. Nobody knows where he's at. His tracking device has been removed, so he is a ghost now. And then we get to see a wrestler. He's in the hospital, and his old fiance Audrey shows up. And wrestler sees that she's engaged, and he says, "Please tell me he's fat and unemployed." And she says, "He's fat and unemployed." And so wrestler asks her to stay with him for a little while, and she does. And they kind of have, I guess they're catching up there and reliving their past a little bit. Obviously, you can tell that wrestler still has feelings for her, and it kind of looks like she may have feelings for him as well. So, like I said, Red is on the run now. Liz is looking at an old bunny, a stuffed bunny, and this happens at the beginning of the episode too. And she has a little bit of a flashback of a fire there with that bunny, and she's once again looking at this bunny there and just kind of thinking, and you can tell she's pondering on her past as she's looking at her scar and at that bunny that's also burned a little bit. And then she gets a call from Red, and Red's just letting her know that he's going to be away for a while, that But if she ever needs anything, that he's always there just to reach out, and he will be there for her. And Liz says, "Well, I have a question. Are you my father?" And Red pauses for what seems like an eternity, and then he says, "No." And then there's another pause there, and then Red says, "Be careful of your husband." So that seed is planted once again that Liz needs to be careful of her husband, Tom. And he's denied being her father. And so we kind of get a couple answers, but then we get several more questions there at the end of these two episodes. Great episodes. I love these two episodes. Garrick was a phenomenal blacklister, scary looking dude. You know, we learned in these episodes that a few years back, Red had a chance to kill him and shot him in the face, but it didn't kill him. And it just kind of distorted his face a little bit, which made him look kind of scary, which was very good for dramatic effect there in television show. But really good episodes. I enjoyed both of them very much. We're almost halfway done now with season one with our rewatch here. So really excited to continue this series. It's a lot of fun. I appreciate everyone that's been listening and that interacts with us here there on Twitter. And like I said, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us that 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Amazon Music. We're on Stitcher. We are on all the major podcast platforms. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Believe Blacklist. My personal account is at Blackwood89. I appreciate each and every one of you. I look forward to continuing this series. Y'all take care.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.